Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Get inspiration, innovation and insight at MADE, the Entrepreneur Festival. Join us at MADE Festival to be educated and inspired by a jam-packed day of business success. Hear from JB Gill, farmer, entrepreneur and former member of boy band JLS, Annabelle Carmel, cookery author and entrepreneur, Joe McEwen, head of digital at Innocent Drinks and many more. This year we blend inspirational success stories with business skills training, customer service, sales, marketing and social media, all designed to help you win more customers and increase profit. MADE, the Entrepreneur Festival, 22nd of October, Sheffield City Hall. Visit madefestival.com for more information.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insight and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock on Friday, the 25th of September 2015. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your presenter for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. We're broadcasting on 93.2 FM and through our internet live stream. And in today's show, we'll be talking with Nick Temple of Social Enterprise UK about the state of the social enterprise sector in the UK. We also will hear from Phil Turner and Tina Harrison discussing a forthcoming event in which local businesses try their hands at stand-up comedy, all in aid of a great cause. Plus, a Sheffield digital marketing agency, which recently secured £40,000 of investment from UK Steel Enterprises, talks about the process of becoming investment ready, what they'll do with the cash, and gives you some helpful advice about how you can win business through paid and organic search. Today's show will also be available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website, sheffieldlive.org. And talking of podcasts, if you missed last week's programme, which featured interviews with Andrew Wilson, Projects Director of the BE Group, talking about this year's MADE Festival coming up in October, and Janet Skiro, the Chief Executive of Upperthorpe-based Zest, you can catch up with those on the Sheffield Live website. Go to Shows, Business Live, and find the podcast from the 18th of September issue. But meanwhile, lots, as I said earlier, coming up on today's programme, which was put together yesterday on Thursday the 24th of September. But before we turn to our interviews, a roundup of what's going on in business and social enterprise. Food manufacturers Two Sisters are going to invest £38 million in rebuilding their Pennine Foods factory here in Sheffield. Funding's part of a £55 million programme of investment they're making in four sites, and it's going to safeguard more than 800 jobs at the Waterthorpe site. The division, which focuses on own label products, produces ready meals, soups and sauces for Marks and Spencer. Sheffield site was established about 30 years ago and has now reached capacity. So when building work begins next April, some work will move to other sites in the UK, but new opportunities for new ranges to be produced in Sheffield will be created once the refurbishment is completed. Following the success of last year's inaugural Social Saturday, this year's Social Saturday, organised by Social Enterprise UK, is taking place on the 10th of October. It's anticipated to be a testament to the strength and influence of the social enterprise movement, with all sorts of events happening. Find out more at socialsaturday.org.uk. A former national business head is going to address next Friday's late breakfast business meeting in Sheffield. Russell Hobbs, who rose from humble beginnings, in his words, to be responsible for the care and security of 500,000 prisoners across the country, will be speaking. Russell went on to become executive director of the Yorkshire Ambulance Service before forging a new career, helping people to unlock their potential in their professional and personal lives. The Late Late Breakfast event takes place on Friday, the 2nd of October at the Assay office, starting at 9 a.m. Brainchild of Sheffield businessman Michael Bell, who's been a guest on this programme before. Open to all entrepreneurs and business people. If you want to go to the Late Late Breakfast, email helen.sweet@theresultshub.co.uk. And don't forget, coming up also, we have the Social Enterprise Social. That's taking place on the 1st of October, 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Meeting place for anyone interested in social enterprise to exchange ideas, collaborate and celebrate social impact. Taking place at Union Street and with a great speaker, a young social entrepreneur from Yorkshire who's currently behind a growing national movement, the Real Junk Food Project. So find out more, email c.palmer@shu.ac.uk. Look up Sheffield Social Enterprise Network or go onto Eventbrite to book Social Enterprise Social October the 1st, 2015. Also, of course, coming up, the MADE Festival. MADE, the Entrepreneur Festival, takes place on the 22nd of October at Sheffield City Hall. Featuring speakers including JB Gill, singer and now entrepreneur, Annabelle Carmel, children's cookery author and entrepreneur, Jeff Ram, author, and many, many more. Not only with speakers, but practical workshops. We heard quite a bit about MADE in last Friday's programme. As I said earlier, you can still download the podcast of that because organiser Andrew Wilson talked about what's coming up. Lots of practical stuff, great event. And not only that, but we also heard from one of last year's speakers in last Friday's programme, Levi Roots. So if you're going to MADE, tweet, get in touch, we'll be there. And, of course, you can find me at Jamie Veitch on Twitter or text 07904 272 200. It'd be great to meet up with listeners if you're at the MADE Festival. And finally, UK Steel Enterprise have invested £40,000 in a Sheffield-based internet marketing agency. Ignition Search. They've received a £40,000 funding boost from UK Steel Enterprise, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of Tata Steel. UK Steel Enterprise's aim is to help the economic development of those areas of the UK most affected by changes in the steel industry. They provide equity and loan finance to growing companies based in such areas, as well as business premises. You can find out more about them at uksteelenterprise.co.uk if you think you'd like to apply. And we have an interview coming up in today's programme with Dan Kavanagh, the Managing Director of Ignition Search, who secured this investment. Now, as ever, you're welcome to get in touch with this programme and with Sheffield Live. You can email jamie@sheffieldlive.org. Find me on Twitter at Jamie Veitch. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter too at Sheffield Live. Send a text to 07904 272 200. Whether you're starting or running your own business or your own social enterprise, whether you're self-employed or if you're an employer, we're always keen to hear from you. So let's turn now to our first interview. And we've heard last week about the state of the social enterprise sector survey. Research which was recently undertaken by Social Enterprise UK. They've described it as the most comprehensive research into the sector. We've heard some of the headline statistics. We're going to talk now to an interview that I've recorded with Nick Temple to talk through the research.
We're open for business life.
So it's been described as the most detailed, representative and academically rigorous survey and research that Social Enterprise UK has ever undertaken. It is, of course, the state of social enterprise research. And I'm joined this morning by Nick Temple of Social Enterprise UK, Deputy Chief Executive and co-author of the research. Nick, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Jamie. It's a pleasure to join you.
So first of all, I've mentioned some of the headline findings from the research in terms of social enterprises, some of the key statistics. But let's just remind our listeners of those statistics. It's a really dynamic movement, forefront of economic recovery, making a profit and earning their income. What most excited you, Nick, in terms of the statistics and the research and the findings?
Yeah, I think there's a number of things. I mean, there's things we've become accustomed to, Jay. I suppose, like, you know, that it's a fairer movement in terms of the diversity and the equality we have in the movement. And also this year, we've also asked about pay for the first time, so we have a better understanding of pay ratios, which, again, doing it. And I think what's really impressive is that whilst doing it differently in those kinds of ways, in who they employ and who leads them and so on, they're actually delivering a really strong economic performance as well. So, you know, the fact that more of them are increasing their turnover than mainstream SMEs, more of them are growing their workforce, more of them are optimistic actually about the future as well, you know, I think is a really positive sign for the movement and how it's maturing and how it's strengthening, really. So, yeah, for me, the standout was that economic performance, but combined with what we've always known, which is they're doing it differently and doing it where it's most needed.
Quite, yes. So social enterprises are leaders in comparison with SMEs on many metrics as well, and the report demonstrates that. Social enterprises are also earning more than 75% of their income from trade. They're paying fair. You talked about pay ratios just then in terms of the ratio between CEO pay and the lowest paid. That's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's something I suppose we hope it was true. You know, you kind of anecdotally and in terms of what social enterprise stands for, you believe that it will be fairer and people will be paying more fairly. We've started to ask about the living wage, but the pay ratio of highest to lowest is 1 to 3.6 in social enterprise. And, you know, you think about the FTSE 150, for example, where it's 1 to 150, you can see that I think it's starting to look a little bit different.
Quite, quite.
And also for me, the other bit is who they employ. So I think, you know, one of the biggest problems that the country faces really is still employment, particularly with young people, with those with various disabilities, those otherwise you can't get access to jobs and employment. And again, there's a really strong performance here where almost 60% of social enterprises are actively seeking, like deliberately setting out to employ those types of people. And again, that's just a huge contribution to the economy, but also to the society at large.
Brilliant. So you mentioned, first of all, economic performance is strong, and they're doing that whilst employing people who are otherwise disadvantaged in the labour market. Social enterprises leading again here. Fantastic. Now, a couple of things that I wanted to go on. You said it's a very positive picture, which is tremendous. You've also made, of course, some conclusions and recommendations. Just looking, first of all, at social enterprises that operate in public sector markets and whether the Social Value Act, which some listeners will be aware of, is working as intended. What are your thoughts? What did the research uncover?
Yeah, so it found really that although the kind of awareness of the Act among social enterprises has grown, that at this stage, you know, it's still not being seen in terms of the implementation on the ground as much as we would want. So, you know, put simply, is it being seen in enough tenders and contracts? And is that kind of making the playing field, you know, favourable level in terms of social enterprises? Not as much as we'd want. And, you know, so actually, from our perspective, there's still work to do.
Yes.
And I think how do we really get, you know, at the moment 49% saying they're not seeing it at all in commissioning. And that's a challenge and a problem. 28% have, which is probably 28% that weren't seeing that 3 years ago. So some evidence of progress. I think it's still early days. You know, it's been in legislation for, what, 2.5, 3 years. We're working hard, I think, on the strategies that will help this really make a difference on the ground. And, you know, as one of my colleagues put it the other day, really translate the Act into action.
Quite, yes, that's really important. And so if it's moving, then great, but you need commissioners to move with it as well. Social enterprises themselves more and more aware of the Act than they were when it was first came into legislation. But if they're not seeing that that this is being written into commissioning and documents, that needs to change. And you've made a number of calls as well for government agencies, local enterprise partnerships and others, other recommendations too. And perhaps we can just go through a couple of your other recommendations in terms of what local enterprise partnerships and the public sector need to do.
Yeah, happy to, Jamie. And I think, you know, just on the Act, I suppose, you know, national government can play a role here in signalling stuff, but
quite.
Also there's some great work happening at local level. So I don't want to kind of paint too gloomy a picture. There's some good progress, but more to do. I think
Indeed.
More generally, as you said, the public sector is a big customer of social enterprises. And there are some risks there. You know, the proportion in the most deprived areas of the country is higher in terms of the social enterprises working with the public sector. So there's a note of concern there that if more austerity comes in terms of public sector finances, then that could potentially affect some of those social enterprises working in the most difficult and challenging areas. I suppose that's partly why we've called on local enterprise partnerships and other local agencies to really think about their policies and programs in relation to social enterprise. I think, you know, the job creation, the startup rates, the innovation, the employment statistics, you know, really provide a compelling evidence base for why this should be at the heart of a lot of their economic strategies. You know, not a kind of add-on of, we know we need to do some nice fluffy stuff, but actually right at the heart of their mainstream business strategies. And, you know, we're certainly happy at Social Enterprise UK to work with them to provide local and regional data where we can, anything to inform that work. But I think, you know, what we've seen now over the last three surveys is real evidence that social enterprises are kind of delivering on the promise, if you like, and maturing as a sector. And, you know, actually mainstream business policies and programs need to take account of that.
Quite, yes. And that's a really important point, I think, you make there, Nick. And the report, which draws upon significant substantive research and evidence, does paint a very, very optimistic and positive looking picture for the future, for social enterprise and for the sector in terms of economic and societal performance. Just one other quick question then. The report, as well as the data, the research, it includes a number of case studies. One of the case studies is a social enterprise that some Sheffield listeners may well recognise, Viewpoint Research CIC. Nice to see that featured there. And they, of course, talk about why being a member of Social Enterprise UK has benefited them. Now, an easy question for you to answer, Nick. Why should social enterprises join Social Enterprise UK?
Well, it's a delightful question to receive, Jamie. I think, you know, what we're seeing here is a kind of growing movement of great organisations. Our job is really to help these organisations do more and do more good. And really, from our perspective, that's primarily at the moment about helping them find customers, and whether those customers are in the public sector, the private sector, or the general public, that's really also, we're seeking to both support them with events and networking and the kind of things you'd expect from an organisation, but also campaigns like Buy Social, Social Saturday, indeed the Social Value Act, are trying to really create an environment where social enterprises can thrive. And, you know, we're stronger the more members we have. We're over 1,200 now, and, you know, the more that join us, the more that belong, the more that support us, they're supporting the whole movement, and that plays back to them. So Viewpoint are a fabulous social enterprise who we've actually contracted as well and used in our own supply chain, so we walk the walk as well. And but there's lots more across the country, and we just more of them doing more good, and that's what we're trying to do.
Superb. Well, Nick Temple, Social Enterprise UK, thanks very much for joining me today. And of course, you can find the State of Social Enterprise Report 2015 on the Social Enterprise UK website. Nick, you can just mention the website, just the homepage, because people can easily find the report. It's flagged up.
Yeah, great. It's at www.socialenterprise.org.uk. And if anyone wants to get in touch with us, they can do that through the website too.
Superb. Nick Temple, thanks very much for joining me.
Brilliant. Thanks, Jamie.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org across Sheffield and the world. My name's Jamie Veitch. That was Nick Temple of Social Enterprise UK talking about the State of Social Enterprise Report 2015, which you can find on the Social Enterprise UK website, socialenterprise.org.uk. Now, plenty of ordinary businesses have very clear commitment to local community fundraising and community activity. And last week, I caught up with one local business person who's getting involved bravely in an innovative event called Funny Business, Funny Business is an event to raise money for Weston Park Hospital. It's taking place on the 7th of October, and it's all about local business people putting their comedy skills on the line to do a good deed. So last week I met up with Phil Turner of Exposed Magazine and Blind Mice Media Limited, alongside Tina Harrison, who's a deputy director at Weston Park Hospital Cancer Charity, to ask them about Funny Business. We'll hear from Phil and from Tina now. Phil, good morning. Tina, good morning. Thanks very much for joining me today. So we're talking about Funny Business. It's coming up in October. It looks really, really exciting. Phil, you're putting yourself on the line here. Are you funny?
Well, when I told the guys in the office I was doing this, they literally went, "What, you?" And raised eyebrows looking at me, which I was genuinely offended about, because I always thought I was quite funny. And I definitely remember my wife telling me one of the reasons she fell in love with me was because I made her laugh.
So, aww.
Yeah, a bit cheesy that, sorry.
Oh, no, it's like a story.
But do you know what it is? I think as you grow a bit older and you've got a wife, family, kids, you've got a business to run, you do sort of forget about that kind of stuff. So it's been quite nice. I've actually been deliberately trying to be amusing in the office. And get a few laughs.
And are they actually laughing?
Yeah, do you know what? Every now and then, yeah.
With you?
Sometimes with, sometimes at.
So let's just go back a bit. Tell us, Tina, about Funny Business. How did it, first of all, come about? What is it? What do people have to do, for those of our listeners who don't know what Funny Business is?
Okay, well, Funny Business, first and foremost, is an innovative event to raise funds to support Weston Park Hospital Cancer Charity. Sadly, the statistics are that by 2020, one in two of us will be affected by cancer at some point in our lives. So that means, well, the good news is that more people are surviving cancer, but what does that mean in the future? So there are more people surviving cancer, which will mean further drains on the resources at Weston Park Hospital. Weston Park Hospital funds cancer research, treatment and care. So we will need to further support that in the future. So this is a fundraising event. It's a brilliant event, and I think it's becoming one of Sheffield Business's best charity gigs. What we do is we take seven or eight leading business people in Sheffield.
And me.
And Phil Turner.
And Phil Turner, yes. And we sort of give them 5 weeks of training to become a stand-up comedian. It is a Herculean challenge. Now in its fourth year, we've raised to date £83,000. So we're hoping to smash through the £100,000 this year. But really, these are very, very brave souls, and I have respect for each and every one of the contestants that have done this over the years and are doing it this year.
And are doing it this year, yes, quite. I mean, it's a really brave thing to do, to get up on stage in front of several hundred people and to attempt to be funny, with no disrespect, to actually be funny, in fact. Because, well, we've all seen comedians on TV, lots of us have gone to live gigs, and we know that audiences can be very, very demanding, very exacting if people aren't making them laugh. But in actual fact, this is slightly different as well, isn't it? You're brave participants, and they are very brave. The audience want them to do well, don't they?
Well, of course they do. And you've just said, you know, several hundred. Well, it's more than that. This is over 400 people. This is always a packed audience,
yes,
every year.
But it sells out, doesn't it, every year?
It does, yeah. And it's a very intimate audience. And most sort of budding comedians would be thrilled to bits to have an audience of over 400. They might be playing to a house of 50 or 70 people. So these guys have had 5 weeks of training, and that's not five full weeks, that's 2 hours on a Tuesday night for 5 weeks. And then in their spare time, they really are, they must be spending a lot of time working on this, possibly to the detriment of their business, which is what their main focus should be. But really, every contestant puts 100% effort into it. But as you say, it is a very warm audience. The audience is made up of their peer group, their family and friends, who are willing them on. They want to see them succeed. They don't want to see failure.
You also have a medical guy in my office.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I mean, some people might pay to see Phil Turner on a stage go flat. But no, Phil, we love you, really.
Is that what you're suggesting you're doing, Jamie?
Well,
you're going to be the front heckling.
I've put 20 quid in, Phil. And I think it'll be worth every penny.
You can put another 20 in if I'm good.
All right, sounds like a deal to me. So Have you brought any jokes with you today?
Well, I knew you'd ask me that, but I'm not going to give away any of my set.
Oh, dear.
Well, I've only got enough jokes to fill 5 minutes. If I give them away now, I have to change it.
So. Well, I'll tell you what, listeners, if you want to hear Phil and one of his jokes, you're going to have to pay for it. You're going to have to go to the website, book yourself a ticket, and best of all, you should sponsor Phil. Because, you know, I tell you what, I'd be terrified doing this, and I love public speaking, but I'd be terrified doing this. I think I hats off to you.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm exactly the same. I don't mind public speaking. I've done kind of lessons at Hallam University. I've been invited in, you know, to kind of take a lesson. And, you know, that was slightly scary because I'm not a teacher and had no training. But, you know, I kind of know my subject and thought, well, I'll talk about what I do, which, you know, everyone likes talking about what they do. I've done best man speeches, all that kind of thing. But this is a different level because whilst what Tina says is true, and I've been to the event before and, you know, I didn't really know anyone that was performing, but I was there to cheer them on. And you know, honestly, most people are there to do that. It doesn't hide the fact that if you can't make them laugh, then, you know, that you might get the odd forced laugh, but you'll know. And it's you know, it's 5 minutes of your life that, if you don't get it right, will be quite awkward. So it's just about, A, having the gumption to get on and do it, and B, putting some time in to actually write and practice and go to the sessions. We work with Alfie Moore, who's team's been involved with the last few years, who's been involved with the event, and, you know, he's been fantastic just in helping you cut out the stuff that isn't funny and focus on the stuff that is.
So Alfie is really vital in terms of mentoring these business folk who are involved and helping you, so that you.
Alfie's pivotal to the yeah. whole event. He's a brilliant comedian. He's star of Radio 4's It's a Fair Cop.
Yep.
And he at first he was quite sceptical about the event, but he's seen it work, and he's brilliant at mentoring the guys through. And actually, having seen Phil in action last week, I have to tell you, he'll be worth every bit of your £20 to come along. I think he would be a dark horse for perhaps winning this event. He's very funny. We've set the bar very, very high again this year. Last year, I remember seeing a couple of people that I knew at the famous after party, which everybody is invited to come along to at Marco's Italian restaurant. And this guy said to me, oh, I came to support Martin Loxley. He said, well, I thought I'd be doing a bit of polite laughter. He said, my sides have been splitting. Each one of them is so good because Alfie is there to bring out the best from everybody. And he really does get them to focus on which are the funny bits, take out all the rubbish and work on that. And so I know that they only have these 2 hours training on a Tuesday night, but back home, they really must be beavering away to perfect this 5 minutes. It really is an amazing thing. It's a great show to go and see, whether you know the people that are in it or not. So I would actually say to everybody, get on board, get your ticket, come and support Phil.
And you have to get your tickets pretty promptly because it will sell out, funny business.
Well, we have only a few left. Yeah. So,
so this is the 7th of October, City Hall. Tickets are...
Is that the Memorial Hall?
The Memorial Hall, I'm sorry. And tickets are available online. Just let's go through some of the other people participating as well, if we can, Tina. We've got Greg Naylor, Michelle Phillips, Craig Gray, Andrew Howard, and Brendan Swales, George Forsyth. I don't think I've missed anyone then.
Did you say Andrew Howard?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a real mix. It's fantastic. We've got a solicitor, we've got a banker, we've got more than a few medics in the audience. We've got surgeons and GPs, and then George from the general manager from Napoleon's Casino at Allerton. So all of them come from very, very different walks of life, but all very, very successful in what they do. So they're senior business people, and they really are going to put on a top show.
And as regular listeners will know, this programme covers business and social enterprise. And on the programme, frequently, we have business people talk about the community work or the charity work that their businesses do in Sheffield and further afield as well. And it's really, really important, clearly, for Sheffield businesses to get involved with local charities, with national charities too. Now, Tina, this, of course, is one element of your fundraising for the charity, and People can find out more at the website wphcancercharity.org.uk. But how else do you engage with businesses in terms of getting them to support you?
Well, we have a wonderful relationship with Sheffield businesses. As you can imagine, Weston Park Hospital is a key stakeholder in the wider Sheffield City region. So the big businesses do support us very much by engaging with us, being Charity of the Year. They do a lot of workplace fundraising. Of course, we have some amazing events around the city, and we do get large companies to sponsor those events. For instance, Funny Business, one of our sponsors is One Health, and Hampton by Hilton Hotel, who have been on board for, this is the second time they've been on board, seeing this is such a successful event. And of course, then they invite us back down to Marco's for this brilliant after party. So we do get the support of a lot of businesses. But of course, we can always, always do with more. We have to raise just under £2 million this year to support Weston Park. So if any businesses out there would like to engage with us, please give us a call. You never know who's going to be walking through the door or who's going to be phoning us up on any day of the week. The opportunities that we've got are then opportunities we can pass on to businesses. But it's a two-way process. It's a great relationship. And a business can get an awful lot out of partnering up with a charity like ours.
And so businesses listening, social enterprises listening, listeners, most of us in our lives are touched by cancer, personally, people we know and in our families. So Weston Park Hospital Cancer Charity, a really, really important, vital charity to get involved with, so contact Tina. So just turning back to Phil, we're going to put you on the spot again. After this gig, will we see you on a stand-up circuit in Sheffield?
Well, I have no plans to go down that route, Jamie, but I like what, to think of myself.
What if the audience demands it?
I don't think they'll be... Honestly, I'd say the chances are about 0.1%. But honestly, If it went down that well, I might do the odd open mic spot because the reason I got involved is that A, the charity is so important, and I know people get probably a bit weary about getting emails from people they know through work saying, "Oh, sponsor me, I'm doing this, and sponsor me, I'm doing that." And I thought, do you know what? This is something totally different. It's a once in a lifetime shot. You know, I was grateful to be asked, and I didn't feel I could say no. I thought, if I say no now, I'll want to do it next year.
You would, wouldn't you?
And Tina would go, "Well, sorry," he said, "No. You know, people want to do this." And I think that's the reason that people should not only come, but should sponsor not just me, but all the people that are doing it. Because obviously the cause is really important. But secondly, it is such a different kind of thing to do. And it's, you know, some people are great at doing marathons and hikes. And, you know, there's so many fantastic ways you can raise money that people put themselves under unbelievable pressure. But I just feel this is something slightly different that actually you can get a lot of pleasure out of yourself. So you're not just giving people money for a worthy cause, you're enjoying the experience as well. And if you enjoy it so much that you want me to go professional, then just, you know, let me know.
We know where you are.
You know, just hold that for a moment, Phil, because I think it was the second year we did it. A senior police officer did a double act at this event. And for 48 hours afterwards, she actually thought, that's it. She was buzzing for days and she went, that's it, I'm giving up the police force. I'm going to Edinburgh. I can do this. She was on such a high. She loved the whole experience. And then she said she dropped back down to earth with a bump and thought, what on earth are you doing? So you may just feel that buzz the next day and maybe we want to take it up professionally.
Well, I'll sleep on it, see how I feel.
Quite. Well, I mean, as I say, hats off to you. I think it's a really, really brave thing to do. So let's just give you a taste of what you can expect, Phil, on the night from the audience. I think it'll be lots of that. Not any of that. Lots of that. And let's tell
you. Like a group of teenage girls, who's invited them.
That's why you're doing it, isn't it? No, it's like let's all get behind you and sponsor you, and the business community get involved as well. Come along on the night. Only a few tickets left. So in terms of getting a ticket, it's a case of go to the website, which is wphcancercharity.org.uk. You can then find Funny Business on the website, can't you, Tina, I think?
Absolutely. So, yeah. And of course, on the same website, you'll be able to sponsor any of the contestants, which we hope people will do. But yes, get those tickets quickly because you will be disappointed. It's a sellout every year. and we haven't got money left.
And do get behind these participants. Give them some sponsorship. Give them a boost. It's a brilliant cause. Get involved. Tina, Phil, thanks for joining me. Really looking forward to the 7th of October. I think it's going to be a fantastic night. So go for it. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're open for Business Live.
This is Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme with me, Jamie Veitch, broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org. That was Phil Turner and Tina Harrison talking about Funny Business, an event coming up on the 7th of October to raise money for the Weston Park Hospital Cancer Charity. Now, at the start of the show, in the news section, you heard about Sheffield-based Ignition Search, who've received a £40,000 funding boost from UK Steel Enterprise. It's going to allow the company to significantly grow, according to the firm's managing director, Dan Kavanagh, who I caught up with yesterday to talk about how they got investment ready, what they're going to do with the money, and to get his tips for you to listen to about how to grow your own business through digital search, through SEO, organic SEO, and Google AdWords. So we'll hear from Dan Kavanagh now. So Dan, thanks very much for joining me. So we've heard about this fantastic investment, £40,000 boost for Ignition Search. First of all, how did you hear about UK Steel?
Well, we've been working with a partner, a guy called Greg Barker, at Strategic Corporate Finance, who specialise in preparing companies for investment more than an accountant might. It's a very specialised service. And we've known Greg for a while.
Okay, so Greg was helping you to find the most appropriate investment for Ignition to grow.
Indeed.
And he then identified that UK Steel Enterprise were worth talking with.
That's right.
So what did you have to do to apply to them?
Well, they were one of a number of potential investors that yes. were interested in us. So we had an initial meeting with Alan at UK Steel.
Yes.
And we prepped for this meeting with a fair amount of detail, the kind of things that we might look for if we were investors. So we'd sorted out a solid cash flow plan. We prepared a bank statement so they could see the current situation of Ignition, a forecast which was critical for growth, and also a lots of rhetoric about what kind of company we were, about the sector that we were in, which is high growth, about our processes, our retainers, that kind of thing. So we're trying to demonstrate really that we'd be a good bet.
Quite. Really. So you're really, really doing a lot of work on being investment ready.
Yes. Yep. And we were helped very much through that by Greg.
Yes. Yep.
But as it turns out, had quite a lot of that stuff in reasonably good shape.
Excellent.
Anyway, so.
So when you submitted then your application to UK Steel Enterprise, yeah. what happens next? Do they come back to you? Do they sort of unpick it and ask for further detail on some of it? And how long did it take then from application being submitted to actually securing this finance?
Well, the whole process took less than 6 weeks.
Pretty fast.
Yeah, pretty fast. A lot of the kind of fine detail was in good shape, as I say, anyway. But we actually secured more than we were initially looking for. What we found with UK Steel, out of all the investment offers that were on the table, they seemed to be the best fit for an ongoing partnership. They took the time to really understand what Ignition was all about and our aspirations. So that enabled us to go through it quickly, but also we found Alan to have gone the extra mile in terms of understanding. We thought he'd be a good fit going forward.
So that's tremendous from your perspective, and obviously from yeah. their perspective, you were a great fit for them. They obviously wanted to invest yeah. in you. You talked about being extremely well prepared in terms of the submission. Information about the business and so on. Yeah. What is it, do you think, though, about Ignition that made you successful? What else, apart from that preparation?
Well, from a broader business perspective, I think our philosophy is what's helped us grow. We've grown every year since we were founded in 2007, but it's been modest growth, which has been intentional. We come from a starting point of being a marketing firm, so marketing and results led.
Yeah.
We just happen to do this online. So the services that we have at our disposal are AdWords management, search engine optimization, social advertising, which is increasing in popularity rapidly.
I'm sure it is. And I want to ask you for some tips on those for our listeners as well in a moment.
Okay. That's fine. So to come back to what's made us successful is we've sought to understand a client first and foremost, right from the start. So we'll spend a lot of time digging into who they are, who their target market is, what makes them unique in their sector, where they look at value adds. And we'll spend a lot of time understanding that initially before we then start recommending services. So a lot of clients will come to us and say, I want to be top of Google. And we're like, okay, well, that's fine. But do you know which key phrases actually make a difference to the business before we embark on this trail? And often the answer to that is no.
Quite, indeed.
Unfortunately, the majority of our clients have arrived at our door having had a bad experience with an SEO company or an AdWords company. So there's a bit of mopping up to do, and that is a problem in our industry. Very few specialised firms that understand Google, but also that come from a marketing background, so are interested in return on investment.
And that is crucial, of course, in terms of getting the return and the traffic that you're helping businesses to attract.
Yeah.
Whether it's through paid or organic,
It's
got to have a return on that traffic. There's no point in it otherwise.
It has to, yeah. And the client will come to an agency, and the brief might be as simple as, I want to be top of Google, I want more traffic, I want to be higher than my competition, lots of kind of vanity reasons for doing it. But we tend to strip that back and, as I say, understand, then we can recommend a service or combination of services that's going to actually make a difference to the client. So if you think about the types of clients that we've got on our roster, we work with some well-known brand names like Red Bull and Ladbrokes.
Yeah.
At the other end of the scale, we work with local one-man bands. They might be independent financial advisors or in legal, or they might be selling a particular product. So an e-commerce
mixture from tiny organisations, one person businesses and so on, through to big brands.
Yeah, but they all have one thing in common, is they want the internet to make them busier. So whether that's selling more products or gaining the right kind of inquiries from the right kind of firms that they do business with the most easily, it's about understanding that they've all got this one thing in common. They want to be busier.
Yeah.
They understand the internet is powerful in terms of delivering that type of result. But often they don't have the first idea about how to go about it. And unfortunately, we'll often get advised incorrectly as well.
So this is about really what makes Ignition Search different and how you help your clients.
Yeah.
And UK Seal Enterprise, fantastic fit for you, as you've talked about earlier, in terms of their approach is collaborative and a partnership approach. They're investing in you, but clearly it's a very positive relationship as well.
Yeah.
Your philosophy then and the strength of the business was clearly of interest to them as well.
Yeah.
What's the purpose of the investment? What are you intending to use the £40,000 investment to do?
Well, we're going to use it primarily to fund a full-time marketing position.
Yeah.
So we took on our first sales guy only 12 months ago. We've always gained work through referrals and through partnerships, so steady growth. And when we got all the right people in place and the service right, that's when we decided to scale up, which was 12 months ago. Obviously, we are beholden to cash flow, same as any small business or emerging business. So it's very difficult to take the kind of psychological step as well as the business step to say, right, I'm going to have a non-fee-earning position in this business.
Yeah.
Which is definitely for the good, speculate to accumulate and all that. But the funding has allowed us to do that without worrying about the mouths to feed that we have here and the roof over our head and all the rest of it, unexpected payment issues that any small business
indeed
that's listening will be challenged by.
Well, businesses listening will be well aware of that, and the need to very carefully manage cash flow. And it is a case of you need to invest into a business for growth, of course, but with a balance of cash flow management, that can be challenging. So this sort of investment is a lifeline for many businesses, simply to allow growth to happen.
Well, for us, it's meant we brought our growth strategy 6 months forward.
Yeah.
So there's been a few other dynamics at play that have allowed us to do that, but it's meant we can take the plunge with more confidence. And then the partnership element of UK Steel has meant that we're already talking about something else. So it's been a really good fit for us.
Superb. And you've been recognised by Google, you collaborate with Google, you're a partner agency, recognised as one of the top 50 AdWords agencies in the UK. You also work locally in terms of sharing your expertise, local businesses can learn from you with free seminars pretty frequently.
Yeah.
So there'll be more of those coming up, I presume.
Yeah, there are. We've been doing free seminars for 12 months now. We used to do the old Business Link ones for SEO and AdWords until it had its funding pulled, and no one's really stepped into the void that's left, where businesses can actually go for free knowledge that can actually help them drive their business forward. So we've done 12 locally, roughly one a month, on topics like search engine optimization, AdWords management, e-commerce. We did one 2 weeks ago about landing pages and the power of conversion rate optimization. These have been really well attended, 40-ish attendees from different businesses for each one largely. We've had excellent feedback. The Chamber have promoted the last 5 with us. We're doing some independently. We're also co-hosting a few with Google. We're into the knowledge provision. We believe that should be free, and we try and give businesses something to take away from each seminar. So even if it's like 1 or 2 practical implementations they can do, so it will make a difference to the business. And again, we've had some excellent feedback.
Correct.
So 3 months down the line from a business, they've rung us up, they said, we did what you advised, we've done that one thing, we've seen a 10% upturn in inquiries or something. That's great for us to hear that businesses are empowered. It's not all about just signing up new clients.
No, so useful for businesses, and they'll be able to find out more about forthcoming seminars then from your website or your Twitter.
Yeah, we've got one coming up in October.
Yeah.
If you want to look at our Twitter account or at the Chamber Twitter account, you can get further details on that. We're also co-hosting in Manchester with Google on the 20th of October. But again, that date might shift a couple of days. But if you look at our website or our Twitter account, that'll keep you updated.
All right, lovely. And we'll give out the addresses for those in just a moment. But a quick final question then. We're talking with Dan Kavanagh, Managing Director of Ignition Search. Ignition Search has recently secured £40,000 of investment for growth from UK Steel Enterprise, UK Steel Enterprise's aim is to help the economic development of areas in the UK affected by changes in the steel industry. It provides equity finance and loan finance to growing companies. And, of course, Ignition Search recently successful in securing that. Now, Dan, you talked about what you're going to do with the money. You talked about the history of UK of Ignition Search and the kind of clients that you work with. Mm. And we've also talked about identifying what your clients really, really need.
Yeah.
So let's just finish with a couple of top tips, if we may. Assuming your client, first of all, they know exactly the kind of traffic that they want.
Yes.
And they know what that traffic they want the traffic to do. So they're not just coming with a totally vague aim saying, hello, Dan, we want to be top of Google. And they know the search phrases, not even necessarily words, but phrases that they want. Can you give us a couple of your top tips or how-tos on best practice with regard to Google AdWords, conversion rate management, and or SEO?
Yeah. Well, if I give you a tip for each, I mean, it's never 100% straightforward, but AdWords is a vehicle that can get your business website in Google's prime real estate quickly. So if you already know the kind of key phrases you're targeting, AdWords is the vehicle to get them up in lights fast. So if you're looking for a quick return, AdWords is definitely the vehicle to do that.
Yep.
If set up and managed properly. In terms of search engine optimization, which is what a lot of clients ask for first, you know, I want to be top of Google organically. That's also possible. If you already know the key phrases that make a difference to the business, you know where your focus is, that's a start. But there's no quick fix for this, so be prepared for a larger investment in time as well as budget. Could be 6 months, could be 12 months before you start that really impacting in terms of traffic and inquiries. There are quick fixes, but don't go down that road because that'll often lead to penalties, either algorithmic or manual.
Yeah, okay.
In terms of conversion rate optimization, we are pretty much a standard recommending this service in tandem with any new client that comes in. So landing page experimentation. So this is about making your traffic work as hard as possible. So you come with a website, that website will already have a conversion rate of all traffic and how many buy something or how many submit a contact form or download a brochure or whatever it is. There'll be a conversion rate attached to that. So if you can improve that conversion rate incrementally without buying more traffic or getting more traffic or investing in more traffic, then that's a smart way of improving return immediately with the traffic you're already getting. And then that's a good platform to then further build on in terms of scaling that up in terms of more traffic.
Great. Okay. Well, Dan Kavanagh, MD of Ignition Search, thanks very much for joining me today.
You're welcome.
Can you just give our listeners a quick address so that they can find you on Twitter or your website?
Of course, yeah. So the website is www.ignitionsearch.co.uk. And if you're on Twitter, it's at Ignition Search.
Lovely.
Simple as that.
Super. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks very much.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you. Get inspiration, innovation and insight at MADE, the Entrepreneur Festival. Join us at MADE Festival to be educated and inspired by a jam-packed day of business success. Hear from JB Gill, farmer, entrepreneur and former member of boy band JLS, Annabelle Carmel, cookery author and entrepreneur, Joe McEwen, head of digital at Innocent Drinks and many more. This year we blend inspirational success stories with business skills training, customer service, sales, marketing and social media, all designed to help you win more customers and increase profit. MADE, the Entrepreneur Festival, 22nd of October, Sheffield City Hall. Visit madefestival.com for more information.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insight and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office on 0114 285 9500 or visit begbis-trainergroup.com.
We're open for Business Live.
You've been listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch, on 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org. In today's programme, you've heard from Nick Temple, Deputy Chief Executive of Social Enterprise UK, talking about the state of social enterprise research. We also heard from Phil Turner of Exposed Magazine and Blind Mice Media and Tina Harrison at Weston Park Hospital Cancer Charity, talking about the forthcoming Funny Business event. And we've heard from Dan Kavanagh at Sheffield-based Ignition Search, who's just secured £40,000 of funding from UK Steel Enterprise. Now, if you've just tuned in and you've missed all that, don't panic, because you can catch up with today's show on the podcast, which you can find at the Sheffield Live website, sheffieldlive.org. Look up shows, find Business Live, archive and find today's podcast for today, Friday the 25th of September. It'll be uploaded to the Sheffield Live website from about 11 a.m. on Friday today. So we'll be back next Friday. Thanks for tuning in today, but don't go away now, because next up on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk music programme. Thank goodness it's folk, so stay tuned for that from 10 a.m. through to noon. And we'll play out with a track of music, which is Passing By Ulrich Schnaus.